I was going to say most all roads have bar ditches, but I got to thinking about those that are in concrete there in Austin, you know, the overpasses, you don't see bar ditches there, but most all country roads have bar ditches. And whether it's true or not, I looked up how that term came about. And what I found was what they used to do, the technique was, is barring dirt from the side of the road to build up the crown of the road. And out there where I live, they've done it pretty much like that, because I got a pretty good gully going down the side of my place, because they dug so much dirt out of the off the side to make the crown taller. But and what they did is they shortened the word barring to bar. Of course, you had a ditch on each side, so it was a bar ditch. But that's really not part of the lesson. That's just a little trivia. Take it if you want to. But I found out that things get lost in bar ditches. And as I said, this lesson was found in a bar ditch. So all this started out on a Friday evening. I decided to rotate the tires on my truck. And also I changed the oil on it. The next morning I got up and rotated the tires on the car. And I was feeling pretty good about all this. Needing to get those things done, get it off my mind. I done had too many miles on those tires in that position. They needed rotating. Anyhow, on Sunday, we took the car to worship. And I was thinking about how that ride might be, because my son-in-law came up from Conroe, or come down, however we want to look at it. But I told him to bring his torque wrench so I could torque those lug nuts down properly, you know, get the right torque on them. So I was wanting to see how that ride was going to feel, if everything was still going to be smooth and everything. We got to Bochus. Now, some of you don't know where Bochus is, but Bochus, the little spot, it used to be a big place. They used to have two cotton gins there and two doctors and a post office. But now all there is Masonic Lodge and a few houses. But I live between Bochus and Shiloh. Anyway, I got to Bochus and I stopped the car at a stop sign there, and Nina said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm going to check those hubcaps." And that car has hubcaps, and I don't like hubcaps. I just don't trust them. And I just had a funny feeling that I need to check those hubcaps. So I got out of the car, and I looked to the left rear, and sure enough, that hubcap was gone. It looked like this. Right there. Something like that. But it was gone. And that was kind of disappointing, because I was trying to make everything nice, and here I have a missing hubcap now. And it's laying somewhere within my house in Bochus, which is 3.7 miles. And I knew it's laying somewhere in that bar ditch. And not trusting what I had done, because I put all the hubcaps on the same way. And I'm thinking, that's all I need to do is lose all the hubcaps on this car. So we drove back to the house. And as we did, we kind of looked in the bar ditch as we went, hoping that we'd see it real good. But didn't see it. Anyway, we got to the house, got in the truck, and come to worship. Well, that evening I went home. I was ready and determined to walk that bar ditch and find that hubcap. It was very important to me to find it. And as I started out searching, I was walking down one side and looking at all that, and even looking a little further past the fence. Maybe it rolled, you know. I'm looking. And I began to think how happy I was going to be when I found that hubcap. That was just going to make me feel so good to find that hubcap. And I got to thinking about the happy searchers in the Bible. And that's where I found this lesson. I got to thinking about them. In Luke chapter 15, I'm gonna put Sandy to work now, because I ain't got my Bible up here with me. I can't turn those pages anymore. Luke chapter 15, verses 3 through 6. Sorry about that, Sandy.
Okay, I'll step by in case you need me.
Verses 3 through 6. And this is Jesus. He told people a parable. He said, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he says, lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my sheep that was lost.'" So I was thinking about this parable as I was walking the bar ditch looking for my hubcap and just thinking how happy I was going to be in my family. And you know, that man that had those sheep, he still had 99 sheep left, but he had one lost and he wanted to find it. I still had 3 hubcaps left, but one was missing and I wanted to find it. So I knew how he felt. I knew how that man felt. And also I got to thinking, you know, have any of you ever had a pet that got lost? Yeah, most people have. Not too long ago, our little white dog that I talked about last time, he got lost and had us worried to death. And you're worried if that little animal is suffering, or if it's been run over by a car, if a predator animal has caught it, or if it's been stolen. I've had several dogs that I've had at my house be stolen. And or is the animal just plain lost out there, hungry and scared? And just think about if you found that animal, that pet, how happy you were when you found it safe and sound, and how much you loved it. Well, I'm not that fond of this hubcap, but it was important that I find that hubcap. I wanted to find it. Also in Luke chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. "Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, I have found the coin that I had lost.'" She still had 9, but she had one missing, and she wanted to find it. And that was the way it was with me. Still had 3, but I had one lost, and I wanted to find it. Anyway, I walked 7.4 miles that day. Walked down one side of the bar ditch, got to Bokiss, turned, and then walked the other side. Spent 3 hours and 25 minutes walking. And I did not find the hubcap. But all the while, I was still excited, still wondering where that hubcap would be found. Where was it going to be at on the road, you know? Anyway, I've always kind of thought of myself as a detective. I thought if I wouldn't have went the route I did in life, I might have would have liked to have been a detective. I'm not that smart, but I do like trying to figure things out. And that's a thought I think that we should consider. We should consider ourselves as detectives for lost souls. Think about that. Looking for lost souls. Kind of what I was doing, looking for a hubcap in a bar ditch. There's the bar ditches of life, and there's a lot of folks in it. A lot of folks in it. And I think the point is that we need to go to those bar ditches of life and try to find those people that are lost. The two parables, the lost sheep and the lost coin, are physical occurrences that Jesus used And he knew the people would understand. He knew that when we read it, like we did today, that we would understand that feeling of finding something that is lost. But Jesus wants us to get to spiritual meaning. And that's really what I want us to get today. Talking about lost souls. Talking about people whose spirits are in jeopardy. Their soul is in jeopardy. But looking at Luke chapter 15 still, verse 7. Now this was the meaning that he had on the man that was looking for that one sheep. And how happy he was when he found it. He said, "Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Also in verse 10 of this same chapter, the woman looking for that one coin, "Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And that is joy. There is no comparison with this hubcap and a lost soul. There's no comparison. But the deal is, I knew how important it was to me. I knew how important it was to these people to find their sheep and to find their coin. And how happy they were rejoicing. And how important it was for those ones that Jesus is talking about in verse 7 and 10. That they be found. That they repent, and that they have that relationship with the Lord. So I say to us, shouldn't we be searchers? Shouldn't we do that? Realizing that the lost are not coming to us. That hubcap is not going to pop up out of that bar ditch and show itself to me. I'm going to have to look for it. And that's what I was doing. And no one will be found unless we go and walk and sweep and search. It's going to have to be that we do that. And I've told you this before. All you have to do when you meet somebody is start with a question. Some kind of question that you know the answer to. This is what Jesus did. He would ask a question and it would spark a conversation. And then he would lead those people to the truth. That they may respond. But you know, Jesus had a lot of people that did not believe him. They rejected him as the Savior of the world. And we're going to face a lot of rejection too. People are not going to jump on this all that easy. They're going to reject. And that's probably why we don't do. We don't go out and search for those lost souls because we don't want to hear the rejection. We don't want to be put down like that. But how important is it that we go and look? How happy will those angels be for one that repents? We are the ones that's going to make it happen. We have to be busy about it. Well, anyway, on the hubcap deal, I did not find it on that first try. I did not find it. And I thought, there's a lot of briars here that I don't think that hubcap could have got through there without me finding it. But, you know, it could have still flew over the fence, got in a little higher grass and stuff. But anyhow, I went back thinking about a section of road that was extra bumpy. Maybe it had jarred that hubcap loose. So I went back to that section of road and I walked it again. Both sides. And I was thinking that you can't live with yourself unless you do that. And I'm still thinking that I'm going to find that hubcap, y'all. I have not found it yet. And I'm also almost thinking that I need to go to those houses along the road, knock on the door. You've heard this parable also, or what Jesus said about knock and the door shall be opened to you, seek and you shall find. I might need to be knocking on some doors and find out if that hubcap ran up in somebody's yard and they done found it. Possibly they've already put it on the internet and sold it. I don't know. Those things are for sale. But anyway, lost souls are a lot more important than hubcaps. There's no comparison. And many, many souls are on the broad way headed to that wide gate. But if we don't try to find them, it's likely that we will not be able to live with the Lord. That's kind of what I've come down to thinking. Kind of what I'm seeing. And if this is true, that if we're not out looking for lost souls, that we're not going to have an opportunity to live with the Lord. And if that's so, we won't be able to live with ourselves in hell either. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 25, this is the story about the rich man and Lazarus. And we pretty much know how that story goes. This one that if I were to read it right now, I would probably get a lump in my throat and tears in my eyes, because it's a very powerful story. But the rich man was told, "Son, remember." Now, can you imagine being in hell and remembering all the opportunities you had and you didn't do anything about it? Spend eternity remembering. That would be hell. Over and over again. Literally speaking, it is our responsibility as Christians to search for those who are lost. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28 and verse 20. It says, teaching them. I know Jesus is talking to the apostles, but he's talking to us too. There's nobody going to be saved unless we're teaching somebody, unless we're looking for them. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. What are we teaching? Verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We are to be reaching out to those people, searching for those people that we may let them become part of God's family so that they can be saved. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. Even backs this up even more. And this is Paul talking to Timothy, or writing to Timothy. He says, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men, or reliable people, who will be able to teach others also. That's what Timothy was told to do. Teach them that they may teach. And every opportunity that we come together in Bible study, in worship, we should be learning something so that we can teach someone else. That's our responsibility. And what I found out is we must be willing to sell everything, so to speak. Stop focusing on the physical things and look at the spiritual things. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 36, or 46, 44 through 46, to Matthew 13. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Darren asked a question the other night in our Zoom class on Thursday. Should he have covered it up? I don't think we ever answered that question, but that's a thought. He found a treasure in a field and he covered it up. Well, then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. We're willing to get rid of all we have just to get this treasure. Verse 45, and again the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. He said, verse 46, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. That's how important. And it's like the kingdom of heaven. So all that we have in life, of course God don't want us to be destitute, but all that we have in life, we should not put this life that far in on the top, on the high pedestal. Finding the lost is more important. Doing those spiritual things that God wants us to do. Getting the spiritual meaning of things. I've also found out that understanding and following instruction is very, very important. Now, when I got this car that has hubcaps, I don't like hubcaps. I'd rather have had alloy wheels. I'd rather have had that. But my daughter had found this car with low mileage. It looked good. And she said, Dad, do you want it? The man's wanting to sell it. I said, okay, tell him I'll buy it. So we bought it sight unseen. And went there and found out, I knocked on those wheels and they were hubcaps. But we went ahead and bought it anyway. And guess what? This car does not have a spare tire. It does not have a jack. It does not have a lug wrench. It has a deal that you air the tire up with a canister. It's supposed to have some glue in it that makes it hold if there's a hole in the tire. I don't like that idea either. But anyway, that's what I had. And so I went to the Cadillac dealership in Temple one day. And I never had taken the hubcaps off. I was kind of scared to. You know, they were all, why mess with something? My dad used to say, don't mess with anything if it ain't broke. Well, I needed to know how many lug nuts the car had because I was thinking about buying a wheel for it. So anyhow, I go to the dealership. And had the service manager out there. He took his screwdriver and he popped the hubcap off. Real easy, he popped it off. And he started talking to me. He said, he started mentioning a valve stem. And he said, turn this to the valve stem. And what he was showing me, I didn't understand or I didn't see. I did not see anything until I lost my hubcap. All of my hubcaps was put on that car the same way. Because I put them on. But right here, I got to have the light just right. The instructions of the man, I can't even see it right now. There it is. There is a little drawing of a valve stem right here. With an arrow pointing to it like that. Where are my glasses?
I don't know.
Don't want to lie to you. This is a line, arrows, there's only one, arrows to the valve stem. Well, I did not see that when he was talking to me. And what I was looking at, I was focusing on this little slot right here. You see that? I was focusing on this slot. And when I put all these hubcaps on that car, I put this little slot toward the valve stem. And all these little creases lined up with all the spokes. And I thought, that's it. I didn't know. But guess what? I did order another hubcap, a little less than $35. And I didn't catch it. A lot of people don't catch things, but some people do. And good that they do. My grandson, he's kind of mechanically inclined. He took it up from his great-grandpa, not me. And I'm looking at all this, and everything around it looks the same except that right there. You see that right there? That has a special place that goes into that wheel. It goes right in there. And if you line that valve stem up, if you see it on here, if you line it up with the valve stem where that arrow is, that place will be in that slot, and it will hold its hubcap on. Well, that place right there is the context of the Scriptures. A lot of people miss the context of Scriptures, and they get it wrong. That's why they end up in the bar ditches of life, because they didn't understand what the Bible said. They're following something else because they didn't take the context. Or they never looked at the instructions at all. That's bad. That's bad. So what we need to do is be able to explain God's plan. Need to know God's instructions and be able to explain it to somebody. That guy knew about that thing on the inside of that cover. But to me, he didn't point that out that good to me. I was looking at something else. And a lot of people look at the Scriptures as something else to fit what they want it to look like or what they want it to sound like. And they miss the whole message that God has got to send them. They miss it. Just like I missed it. I was looking at the wrong thing. So it's important to study God's Word. To find the context of what you're reading. So that you may be well informed. That you may please God. And that you may instruct others. What do we read in chapter 51 of Psalms? Warren? Our lesson? David said, make me clean. Clean me up. So I can teach others. Now we need to be ready. We need to understand what we're doing. Anyway, I'm still thinking I'm going to find that hubcap. Even though I bought another one, it won't hurt to have an extra one. And I would love to know where it went. I would love to know. And as we go down that stretch of road, that 3.7 miles, I'm always looking in the bar ditch. I told Nina the other day, I said, I see something out there I didn't see before. A little further out. And I tell you what, when you're searching the bar ditches, there's so many bottles and cans in that bar ditch. Everything looks like a hubcap. I was looking and looking and looking. Anyway, I found a pair of tennis shoes hanging on a tree limb in the bar ditch. A friend of mine was riding a horse on Highway 79 very near Milano, Texas, right down the road. He found two $100 bills in a bar ditch one day. So there are things lost. Can you imagine what the feeling was of that person that couldn't find those two $100 bills? They probably threw it out with McDonald's trash and had that money laying in the seat. But how much are souls worth? Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Verse 36. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? In other words, if you had the whole world, if you could gain the whole world, you've probably been hearing on the news about Elon Musk being the richest man. We're talking about the whole world. And then forfeit your soul. There's no comparison there. That's what God's saying. He says, for what can a man give in return for his soul? He can't. So a soul is worth a lot. And it's important that we reach them. It's important that we search for lost souls. To be detectives for lost souls. Look at it that way. Expect rejection. But at least you tried. And that's what keeps me going back to that bar ditch. Because I just want to try to find that. We should think more for lost souls. Leave you with one more thing here, verse 38. Now this could be to those that don't share the news about Jesus. For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, Of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So, yeah, we don't like rejection. But are we ashamed to share the news about Jesus? What can it hurt? It can save a soul if they take you up on it. Just like those, and I'm glad they did, that followed Jesus, but there wasn't that many. I think Acts talks about 120. 120. 3 years of work, the Lord, preaching and teaching. He had his apostles, 120. But still, it's how important that soul is. We should consider that. I learned a lesson in that bar ditch that day. Really, that's how lessons are. Is we take life and we look and see how can we put spiritual meaning to this? What's happening? How can we do it? And find the context of God's Word. Know the instructions. Don't miss the instructions. Help yourself and help others. If we can help anyone at this time, please come. Please stand and sing this song.